Hi, and welcome to the Reiki from the Farm podcast, brought to you by me, Pam Allen LeBlanc from Hidden Brook Farm. I am a scientist, a businesswoman, and a licensed Reiki master teacher with the International Center for Reiki Training. Each week in this podcast, you'll be entertained as you learn about a wide variety of relevant Reiki topics, helping you become a more knowledgeable and effective Reiki practitioner. We caution you, though, this podcast may also dramatically improve your life, and we are so happy that you're here.
So welcome, everyone, to this month's Reiki Share and this week's podcast. As I was meditating on what we were to talk about this month, because you know I always do that, the word division consciousness came up. So tonight we're really going to dive into division consciousness and where that might exist in our lives, and unification consciousness. And in our meditation at the end of our time together, we will be going in and releasing any areas of our own lives where we might have division consciousness, and we'll be replacing that with unification consciousness. So I'm so glad you guys are all here so that we can share that together today. As this podcast goes live, I am busy teaching a Reiki Level 1 and 2 class, but if you'd like to join our master class on Monday, it's a very small class. I am offering a special review price for anybody who wants to review their masters, if you've already done a Yusui Reiki Masterclass with me. And that's from Monday to Wednesday. The following weekend, I have Animal Reiki 1 and 2, followed by Animal Reiki Masters, Monday through Wednesday. And the Animal Reiki classes are January 27th through the 31st. And in February, the 3rd and 4th, I have an animal communication class, and that's followed by a 3-day Karuna Reiki class, February 5th to the 7th. I also want to invite any of you who are interested to join us in a Deepening Connections with Animals class, January 30th. It's just an evening class. It's $40 Canadian to attend, and it's to teach some of the concepts that I don't have time to teach in animal communication and in animal Reiki, but bringing together all of these things with some of the energy concepts I learned when training horses in order to help you develop stronger connections with the animals that are important to you. And that, of course, there will be a meditation in that as well that helps strengthen that connection. So please join us January 30th. If you are interested in that. And I wanted to invite you all to attend the Northeast Reiki Retreat in Silver Bay, New York. I'll be teaching an Animal Reiki Level 1 and 2 class there. And I'll be speaking about Animal Reiki at the event. But the Northeast Reiki Retreat is fantastic. William Rand will be teaching Karuna Reiki there. Carolyn Musial will be teaching a licensed Reiki masterclass, and Tracy Sullivan will be teaching a licensed Level 1 and 2 class. And we'd just love to see you. It's in May, and it's just a wonderful way to just fill yourself with Reiki and that camaraderie that happens when we all get together. So I will put a link to that in the podcast notes. And I also wanted to let you know that in June, I will be presenting at Omega Institute. Yay, I'm so excited, at a World Peace Conference. And so I will put a link to that, and that will be followed by a presentation at the Reiki Conference at Omega Institute that weekend as well. So that's going to be a lot of fun. So we'd just love to have you join us for those if you can. So guys, before we go too far, I just invite everybody to bring your hands into Gassho, closing your eyes, and just opening your heart. Sometimes in this crazy world, we find ourselves divided in a place of division, separate. separate from God, whatever name you choose to use, separate from each other and sometimes separate from ourselves. And there is a lot of energy of division on the planet now. The energy of division leads to wars and feelings of separateness, otherness. It dehumanizes. I invite you to be open to forming an intention, to releasing the division consciousness from yourself and from your life right now. I'd like you to think for a moment of places that you feel separate or divided or other. Other members of your family, your church, your community that you feel separate from. Do you ever feel separate from yourself? Does your mind feel separate from your heart? Do they feel separate from your body? Do your chakras feel misaligned at times? Whenever we look at the news, it's all about the consciousness of division. That's what sells papers. But it's not the truth of our nature. Steven Pinker, in the book, The Better Angels of Our Nature, talks about the fact that newspapers are a business. Division, reporting tragedies and the difficulties, that's what sells, but that's not always the truth. The truth of our nature is that we're all the same. We're all at our core love. Even the worst hardened, most hardened criminal can love. And so I invite you to be open now to releasing division consciousness. And we're going to talk a little bit about how to notice it, how to discern it, where it exists. And you might recognize from that where it exists in your life. And we'll be opening our hearts to the conscious of unification. So I invite you to do that now. And even as we talk together today, tonight, and go through our meditation, understanding that the unification consciousness that exists in Holy Fire Reiki will be working with you. And if you don't have Holy Fire Reiki, that's okay. Just allow my energy, my Holy Fire Reiki, to work with you, to help you in this regard. We give thanks for all the healing that we're about to receive today, and we give thanks that we are together here in group, in unification consciousness with each other, loving each other, supporting each other, helping each other. Each group is divinely ordered, and every one of you listening today is connected with us, and every one of you who came here live, we are connected. Each group is divinely ordered. We were all meant to be here together. Thank you for being you. Aho. Namaste. So guys, this topic came up recently when a friend was excluded from, or is going to be excluded from, a family wedding because her partner's marriage wasn't officially annulled by the church, by the Catholic Church. And there are so many great things about religion and about the Catholic religion and every religion, really. They bring so many wonderful things to our lives, meaning to our lives. But I feel that when they serve to divide, that maybe they've strayed from the original intention. The original intention of the religion itself. And yet it's so common, isn't it? As I pondered this, I thought, what other things really divide people? Some of you are very aware of division consciousness. We do see it in the news. Look at what politics can do. It can really divide people. I've actually had clients who are divided within their families. Family members that won't speak to other family members because they vote differently, believe differently. And I don't think that's the purpose of politics. As somebody who's going to be getting into politics themselves, I hope and pray that I'll be able to practice politics in a way that doesn't divide people, but brings them together instead. I think that sometimes we can be divided by our incomes, our status in the community, our socioeconomic, for socioeconomic reasons, sometimes even whole cities and communities are divided that way. There are areas where people in the lower income brackets live and areas, the nicer areas where people in higher income brackets live. And so that can sometimes serve to divide us. We can also be divided by cultural and ethnic backgrounds. And what a shame that is. Because when we can learn to embrace each other, one of my favorite things is learning from other people about their cultures, about their beliefs, about their backgrounds. There was a practice among the Celts to travel. And the purpose of the travel was to learn. And a lot of your spiritual Celtic bards and spiritual leaders, what druids would travel. And rather than using their own cultural beliefs to divide, they would adopt the aspects of another person's beliefs or some of the places that they would travel. If things made sense, they just incorporated them. Now, I know that might be called cultural appropriation in some circumstances, but I prefer to consider it an openness, because that's one of my favorite things, is to talk to folks who live differently than I do for whatever reason, whether it's economic, whether it's cultural, whether it's spiritual, religious. I love talking to people from all other areas because we can always learn from them. And one day I was shown an image of God, what I call God, and many of you may use other names for it. That's all right. I'm comfortable with the word God. So forgive me if that word causes you injury or difficulty, but that's the word I like. And so I was shown this great creator, and it was a light so bright that it was difficult to look at, but it looked a bit like the sun. And I was shown that if there are 7 billion people on the planet, and I believe we're 8 now, but at that time there were 7, every one of us had a different angle of looking at the creator. And while I might be looking up here and somebody else might be looking over here, we might be seeing or understanding very different things. And I was shown that if I could open myself up to the perceptions and the viewpoints of all of those other 7 and now 8 billion people, how much better would I know God or Source? And so I realized that's what I wanted to do. And actually, that led to the birth of this podcast, because the more guests that I bring on, the more I learn about Reiki, the more I learn about Source, the more I learn about how other people practice, how other people live, the more different angles I get to experience. And I've shared this story before. Maybe I don't remember. I think it was in class. And one of the students talked about an elephant and how There were four blind men, and one was touching the ear, and he described the ear, and the other one was touching the trunk and said, "You don't know what you're talking about. This is what the elephants," and the other was touching the foot and said, "No, it's not like that at all. It's like this." And the final person was touching the body and said, "You guys are all wrong. This is what it's like." And so imagine something that's so enormous that we can't really fully understand all of it. Imagine if we could be open to each other's perceptions, how much more would we know and be exposed to? We can sometimes be separated, or division consciousness exists around gender and sexuality. Sometimes I wonder why. When we work with the higher beings, the brothers and sisters of the light, the enlightened beings, those ascended masters that are enlightened, they exist beyond gender. That energy that I call God isn't some white guy sitting out there. It's a beautiful, brilliant light. And I was shown that it was neither male and female, and both male and female. So that, and I don't really, I haven't figured out a better way to explain that. But it was neither and both. It encompassed both male and female energy, but it didn't identify as either male and female. And as we have more and more people expressing themselves the way that feels authentic to them, what harm is there in embracing that? To me, that's more like those enlightened beings, because they exist beyond gender. And maybe a lot of these people do as well. And maybe others just identify as another gender, but what harm does it do? It does no harm. And I think it's so healthy for everyone to be able to express themselves authentically as they are. We can sometimes even be divided by education. I've had that. It's doctor. I have a PhD. And oh, excuse me, with my lowly MBA. And I say that tongue in cheek. It's happened very few times. But we can be divided by that. Maybe I've divided by saying, by talking about having an MBA. I don't know. I hope not. There's can be intellectual beliefs, beliefs in systems, beliefs in so many things that can also separate us. And we can also be separated by our nationalities, like those maps that are drawn with countries. That can really separate us. I get a kick out of it, because to go to our Campobello home, which is Canadian, I have to cross two American borders. And having grown up on the border, yes, there was a border, but most of us just ignored it. The Americans were our friends. And they were governed by a different government than we were, and they had different money. They called our money monopoly money, but otherwise than that, we were the same. And many of the people that lived in my hometown in St. Stephen were born in the US and had dual citizenship, because the hospital in St. Stephen couldn't take them for whatever reason, and vice versa. But that can be something that sometimes divides us. We can also be divided by our immigration status. We can even be divided by the environment. When I think about environmental activism, I'm very careful where I go with that, even though I believe so strongly that we need to do something for the environment, that I agreed to run for politics. I think it's very important that we don't take our environmental activism to a place where it divides us from others, where we brace against others. And I know you guys have heard me talk about brace quite a lot. We can also be divided by our own opinions and judgment around things. And so when Holy Fire came in, it came in with a very strong purpose. And that was to bring unification consciousness to the planet, to help us understand that all of these things that we think are divisions are not really real. If you think about a line that is drawn on a country that says, this is Canada, this is the United States, or whatever country that you're in. These are artificial. They're not, somebody arbitrarily chose that and everybody agreed to go along with it. When you think of so many of these things, does having an MBA mean that I'm a smarter business person than somebody who finished grade 8? No, not necessarily. There are some brilliant business people that didn't receive an education to the same level, more brilliant than I'll ever be. And so it is so interesting that so many of these things that are not really real things, but they can divide us. And so one of the things that Reiki showed me really early on, I don't know if any of you experienced that, was that I was really judgmental, that I had a lot of judgment. And I think that we are raised that way because we have to be able to judge if a stove is hot or not before we put our hand on it. We have to be able to judge, is it safe to go to this space? Is it to cross the road and things like that? So we're taught using judgment. But what I've been shown is that we can actually take that judgment and replace it with discernment, so that we can still gather information, but not from a place of being rigid within ourselves and within an idea or an ideal. So Reiki really helped me to learn where I needed to let judgment go. And it helps me to do that. I had to let judgment go with animals. And then the unification consciousness came through even stronger, I think, or just as strongly with animal Reiki, showing us that we often consider ourselves divided from the animal kingdom, but we're not. We're the human that is part of the animal kingdom. There is no division. We are an animal, just like every other animal. And as an animal scientist, an animal behaviorist like myself, when you observe animals, I always joke that watching a new horse enter a herd or a new chicken enter a flock is very much like being in middle school and watching a new person arrive. And that's because we all are animals. We all have that animal nature, even if we don't identify as it. So Reiki can help us if ever we find ourselves in judgment, and to replace that with discernment. And I want to add to that, when I did my very first class with William Rand, I actually felt that there were some Reiki people in my community who were judging me from being from a different lineage. And William said something really profound in that. He said, if you feel you are being judged, you are judging. It wasn't really what I wanted to hear. I would have liked to have gotten away from that and been able to stay in that position of they're wrong, I'm right. But I realized, oh, I was judging them. And what I was perceiving as judgment on myself was actually a projection or a reflection of what I was doing. And I did a podcast recently with William where he talked about the fact that we're 100% responsible for our lives, because everything that happens in our lives, good and bad, comes, we've created it in one way or another. And we created it, sometimes we created it purposefully even before we got here for our own experiences. Sometimes we created in the present time with our thoughts and beliefs and that sort of thing. And so I realized that the need to let go of judgment, and judgment about how animals are kept, judgment about so many things. And I'd like to give you an example, because this was something around the environment that was really hard for me. I was taking part in some shale gas protests because I was guided by Reiki that shale gas wouldn't be helpful. It would be harmful for my region. And actually, the shale gas testing was going on just about a mile and a half from my house. And that was one of the places that they were planning to drill for shale gas or to harvest shale gas. And in fact, our region is also, my city, Fredericton, is on a giant aquifer, and meaning there's a whole bunch of water that is under the city, which I think makes it special. But that water comes from where I live in Durham Bridge. It filters down through and it goes there. And so I realized that the shale gas could have a negative impact. And as a matter of fact, just the testing ruined our well. I can't drink the water without getting quite ill, actually. And that was just the testing. So I knew that this was a potential issue. And I was attending these peaceful protests, and they were lovely. I brought the children. They were just young, and we weren't being really loud or obnoxious or mean. We were just holding signs, and we would say, no shale gas. And as I was doing this one day, and I was about to go to what wound up being my last protest, or just before I went, I was still really angry in my heart. And I was thinking, those shale gas people, they don't understand. They're going to harm the environment. They're mean, they're evil. And it's really tempting to think that somebody is bad, somebody is wrong. It's really tempting that good and bad, positive and negative, good and evil, that's the story arc that we learn from. And it can feel comfortable or tempting to be in that. I'm right, they're wrong. And that's where I was. I was really stuck in, yes, but I'm right, they're wrong. Shale gas is bad. I can't believe they're trying to do this. They're bad people. And the energy told me, you are never going to accomplish anything if you continue going into this situation with anger in your heart. And I thought, what do you mean? And I tried to show the energy or spirit source, my guidance. I'm like, yeah, but these people, they're going to destroy the environment. And the energy said, you have to move to a place of love if you hope to succeed. And so that was just my really clear message. And I said, I don't know how to do that. So Reiki, you're going to have to show me. And so I just continued doing my daily self sessions and asking Reiki to show me how to move to a place of love. And during one session, I was able to see the drivers of the thumper trucks, and we saw them coming through, and we'd say, go home. And then they'd wave at us, wave back, but we really did want them to go home. And I saw that they weren't doing this out of hatred for the environment or malice. They were doing this because they loved their families, and this was a job, and it was a good job, and it allowed them to feed their families. And so it's really hard to stay angry at the thumper truck drivers after that. But I was able to channel my anger to the executives. I was like, those executives, those poor thumper truck drivers, it's not their fault, but those executives, they're making the decision to come in here and destroy the environment. And the energy showed me that you know how to read a spreadsheet. You have an MBA. And I agreed that, yes, I did that. And you know very well what decisions you would make if you didn't have an understanding about the environment and you were reading spreadsheets to make decisions. You know that they're making the right decisions for what they were doing. And I realized, they weren't deliberately trying to harm anyone. They were just doing a job. And although I have more understanding of the environmental impact, so I may not have found myself in that job, I could understand where they were coming from. And so I was able to move to a place of compassion for them. And then I was able to get angry at the company. That's the only thing I had left. The company, same thing. It was just doing what companies do. Finally, I had to just let go of all of my anger. And when I did that, what was underneath of it was love. Love for the environment, love and compassion for the people who were just doing their jobs. But I still had an interest in halting the shale gas development. But here's the thing. I had two possibilities in my mind, I was like, okay, either we have to convince the government to make a moratorium against shale gas development, or they're coming in. I saw those only two possibilities. That's all I could see. The funny thing is if you can let go of your expectations, which Reiki can teach us to do, and be open to possibilities, Reiki probably had 18 possibilities to choose from. And guess what happened? The price went down. It no longer made sense for them to develop here. And they went away, which I didn't even know was a possibility. But it was really interesting that it happened right after I was able to let go of all my anger and move to a place of love. And that very last protest I went to, I missed one protest. And unfortunately, that protest turned very violent and angry. And there were rubber bullets fired and a police car was lit on fire. And I was happy that I missed it because that wasn't at all like the protests that I had been to. But I realized I need to make sure Reiki is at the next protest. And I did. I actually drew the Reiki symbols on my drum and the Karuna Reiki symbols on my drum. And we got to walk through the streets. And, you know, those of us who had drums, moon drums, we just beat our drums and went through the streets that way. And afterward, the organizer came over to me and said, Pam, that was the best protest we've ever had. It was peaceful. It was hopeful. I said, it was. I was really pleased for her. And she had done a great job organizing it. And I really feel that by moving to a place of love and spreading the Reiki energy around, shortly after that's when the shale gas went away. Now, it may come back. There's a possibility of that. But it's been gone for over 10 years now. So that's really a positive thing. Another example right now that I'm living with is that I know that running for the Green Party, oil and gas is not part of our future. We have to look at embracing renewables. And I know that there's going to be some resistance around that. And there's a very large oil and gas company here in the province, but I recognize that the same lesson applies. I am not going to succeed until I can move into a place of compassion and understanding for those companies. And so that's what I'm working on right now. I'm not quite there yet. I'm still working through it. But I think that as that happens, then that's going to release the brace from my body and it's going to open us up to possibilities. When I think about the environmental issues, when I think about the challenges of transgender people, when I think about the issues around culture and race and religion, I feel if we could just let go of the energy of division and open up to our truth, which is that energy of unification, that we're all the same at our core, the core of our being. We all just want to belong. We all just want love, understanding. We want to be listened to. Every person, every animal is the same. I really think that's our way forward in the world. I want to thank you for listening to that. And I want to think about some of the strategies that we can use with Reiki going forward. I believe that any time we find ourselves in conflict with anyone or anything, and that includes even in conflict within ourselves, that is division consciousness. How do I identify when I'm in the consciousness of division consciousness? The way we identify that is, am I in conflict? Or you can even ask, wait, is this division consciousness? If something doesn't feel right, it doesn't feel good, that even means illness and disease. That's division consciousness. So if something doesn't feel good, if something doesn't feel right, if you're in a conflict of any kind or have been in a conflict of any kind, that's division consciousness. The thing is, we have Reiki. We have the distance symbol. If you don't have the distance symbol, use mine. We can let that go. So the first thing to do is ask, anytime that you find yourself upset, frustrated, angry, worried, in any of the negative emotions, wait a minute, am I in division consciousness right now? I think 9 times out of 10, maybe 10 times out of 10, the answer is going to be yes. So be sure to ask the question. If you ever think that there's two sides, you're in division consciousness. And so ask yourself, am I in division consciousness? If there's conflict, if there's a battle, if there's different sides, if there's drama, you're in division consciousness. But ask Reiki, am I in division consciousness? And if you are, you can do something called Kenyoku to release it, really simply. And I'm going to just invite you to join me today in doing that. And with Kenyoku, simply take your right hand, activate your Reiki energy, just put your hands in Gassho for a few minutes. Activating your Reiki energy. And then take your right hand to your left shoulder and swipe across your body down to your right hip. Your left hand to your right shoulder, do the same thing, basically making an X across your body from shoulder to hip. And then one more time, right hand to left shoulder and swipe down to your hip. Then take your right hand to your left shoulder and swipe down your arm out through to the tips of your fingertips and give it a flick. Then do the same with your left hand to your right arm and once more and give it a fling. That is release with the intention of releasing division consciousness. And once you've done that, now Reiki can help you move into unification consciousness. So how do you do that? There's lots of ways. You can do it with your self session, just with an intention, just running Reiki on yourself, saying, please bring in unification consciousness to my heart so that I can see both sides of this, so that I can move to a place of love and compassion. You can do this with a combination of Reiki and your intention. I think that one of the most important things we can do as Reiki practitioners is to be open to all of those different perspectives. And we don't have to adopt all of them. We don't have to change our beliefs. We just have to be open. And be open to seeing the unification consciousness in each other, in every living thing, in every being. And if you consider the earth as living, which it is, in fact, many people say the earth is one organism and we're all a part of it. So that can even be unification with the earth, unification with the oceans, with the animals in the oceans, unification with God. But most importantly, if we remember that our outer world always reflects our inner world, if you find that you spend time or a significant amount of time in separation consciousness, it's probably because there's something inside you that isn't unified, that feels separate. It can be so many things. Sometimes we are taught early on that we're not worthy, and even though that's a lie, there are a lot of reasons that we might be separate within ourselves. But whatever they may be, we're going to release those today. Unification consciousness starts with us. I think as Reiki practitioners, we really have an opportunity to spread this. Our own love, our own openness, our own practice of Reiki, our own diving into unification consciousness whenever we find ourselves in division consciousness. I had someone tell me recently, it's not what you do, but who you are that makes a difference. And in centered writing, we're taught that the importance of showing up centered ourselves. And so if we show up with the posture and centered, with our mind centered and at peace and at ease, the people we were with will naturally entrain to that. And how we show up is the most important thing. And so it's less about convincing others to change and more about just embracing that change within yourself and showing up that way. Rebecca Campbell told me when I said, how do I go into politics and still be spiritual, still remain authentically me? And she said, it's less about what you say and more about who you are. Just show up as who you are. You don't have to say anything about being spiritual. You just have to be spiritual as you undertake all of the tasks that you're going to need to undertake as a politician. And I just think that's excellent advice. It's how we show up. So that can be the most important thing. Now we're going to go into a meditation that helps us find unification within ourselves. Before we do, I just want to check and see if anyone who's here tonight has any questions or comments. You can just unmute yourself if you do, and if you can. Okay. Hopefully you're all still here.
I am.
Yeah.
Can you talk more on the process of like when you try to discern between whether you're in unification consciousness or not, like when you're giving yourself a self-Reiki session, I guess how to move yourself into it? You said you would just ask the Reiki to show you, or I guess, can you talk more on that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. If I understand the question.
A two-part question.
Yeah, I think I understand it. So basically the first part is that if I feel uncomfortable, uneasy, conflicted, divided, I've become aware that's not the peaceful place that I want to be. And so I know I'm not in unification consciousness. I've come to really, and we're going to try to get to that in our meditation so that you really get to know and understand what unification consciousness feels and looks like and smells like. And so there's a feeling that's very peaceful when we do Reiki and that we're all one. And what I notice is that the longer I practice Reiki, the more and more time in my daily life I can spend in that peaceful place. It used to be that my daily life was chaotic, and then the 20 or 30 or 40 minutes a day that I did Reiki were very peaceful. Then my life got less chaotic, and I found myself in that peaceful space for a couple of hours every day, and then eventually more hours every day and more hours every day, until eventually the majority of my time is spent in that really peaceful place. And yet sometimes, we're all human, I still get overwhelmed, I still get frustrated, I still get angry, and I get out of that place. And we all know what that feels like in a way. There's a conflict in our heart, we get angry with someone, we worry, we get frustrated, we don't know what to do in a situation. Whenever those things show up, I'm not in unification consciousness. I'm definitely in the consciousness of division when those types of feelings show up. And if I'm not sure, we can just activate Reiki and just ask, is this division consciousness? And just pay attention to whether you get a sense more of yes or no. And if you get a sense of, yes, you're in division consciousness right now, we can release it. We can consciously do a kenyoku and release it. I think sometimes about family, because who was it that said, if you think you're enlightened, go spend some time with your family? I can't remember right now.
Ram Dass said that.
Who Ram Dass did? Yeah. And I remember reading that and thinking, oh my gosh, that's so true. Because you think you're enlightened, and then you go and there's that uncle that just drives you nuts, or what are your parents that are nattering on about your lack of achievement or whatever. And you can spend time with your family and just be very unenlightened very quickly, or realize that you're not as enlightened as you originally thought you were. And what's interesting is that that probably used to be the case with my family, that I would spend time with my family and be like, oh my God, I got to get out of here at the end of it. And now Reiki has shifted those relationships and has shifted me, I think, so much that I so love spending time with my family. It's just completely peaceful and relaxing and lovely. So then if you get to a place where, you know, your in-laws and your family members, your brothers and your siblings and your parents don't cause a charge anymore, then God gives you kids. Because your kids, it can be really difficult to stay in a place of unification consciousness when you've got a kid kicking your seat saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Or I'm not going to do that. Or you suck. Or whatever the things that especially teenagers can do and say to you. And I feel as I've continued applying Reiki to those relationships, they're not perfect, but I really watched those relationships really even out as well, so that your favorite thing is getting everybody together and being in that space. My kids still do point out where I am not enlightened, and there are still a lot of areas for improvement, trust me, but they do it in a much kinder, more considerate way than they used to for the most part. Not always, but then again, I don't always do it in a kind, considerate way. You can really let your guard down with your family. So I think those are some examples. And I think the main point, the main thing that I was told to leave everyone with this week and this month is the importance of recognizing when you're not in unification consciousness and understanding that you have the ability to move back into, to move into unification consciousness. I wasn't in unification consciousness with my political future before Christmas. There was a threat of a very quick 30-day election, and that threat kept dangling for a few months, and you were in this adrenaline place, and then suddenly that went away, and none of us knew what to do, and I became completely overwhelmed and worried. I don't know if we can do this. Can we do this? And when you were in an adrenaline place, you didn't have time to think about that. And then when that stopped, we were all a little bit burnt out from having been in adrenaline for so long. And I definitely wasn't in a place of unification consciousness with my goals of whether I get elected or not being the best politician I can be. And I'm really grateful. We actually got sick over Christmas. That's why I had to cancel one of my courses. And it was such a blessing, because suddenly we couldn't go to a lot of the holiday events. Even though I wasn't personally all that sick, I was worried that I was contagious, and I really didn't want to bring, my husband was desperately ill, and I did not want to bring that flu to anyone else over the holiday season. And so we did stay home a lot, and that made for a very peaceful, relaxing holiday season. Then you all know I got to go to Hawaii and spend some time with William last week and the week before and be mentored by him. He led us on some beautiful experiences. And I'm happy to say that I really have been able to move into a place of unification now with what we're attempting to do here with the Green Party. I really feel a sense of I'm in the right place, doing the right thing at the right time. I really feel a sense of whatever this is meant to teach me, I'm open to the lesson. Yeah, it really is a different type of consciousness. It makes me think of if you're, I don't know why, but I got auditioning for a part in a movie or a play. If you audition from a place of just knowing that exactly the right person will be chosen for that part, and it might be you or it might be somebody else, but just being really happy for whoever it is, and just letting go of your expectation on an outcome. And I guess I have let go of an expectation on an outcome from my campaign. I'm just going to work hard. And actually, I'm not going to work hard. I'm going to enjoy it hard, because I have found that I really enjoy doing the work of a politician. And so I'm just going to do a lot of that and be in enjoyment, in a place of really peace and hopefully compassion, where I'm able to understand even the people that disagree with me. There's going to be a lot. I know that's going to be the hardest thing for me. I don't love conflict. I don't know anybody who does. No, that's not true. I know a couple people who do, but mostly I don't know many people who do. And I know that there's going to be a lot of people who really disagree with me, and I'm going to have to be okay with that. So it's a real learning process. Does that answer your question? Because sometimes I wander as I answer.
Yeah, I felt like I got what you were saying. I feel like for me, like when I'm giving myself Reiki and I'm going to a place of, okay, Reiki, show me unification consciousness. I guess it's like more of that process of like, how do I get there? I guess I just allow the Reiki to flow. And
yeah. So let's choose an example. Say we talked about family. Say there's a conflict with a member of your family, and maybe you don't agree with something that they do, or maybe they don't agree with something that you do, or whatever. So what I would do is just think about that conflict, think about the disharmony or the separation consciousness that exists around that. I would do a kenyoku with the intention of releasing that. And then I would ask Reiki, please show me how to move into a place of unification consciousness with this situation. And it doesn't always mean that we have to roll over and be a doormat and say, I'm wrong, you're right. That's not what Reiki always takes you to. Sometimes Reiki takes you to, like, that person is no longer meant to be a part of my life. And it can help you be okay with that. Sometimes Reiki takes you to a place where you can really understand where that person is coming from, and you can accept all the parts of them. Sometimes you get a glimpse of their perspective. And it's just asking to move into that place of unification consciousness and compassion and understanding. And also understanding of, is there any action that you need to take? Do you need to step away from that situation? That's an action, and that's okay. Do you need to separate yourself from that situation? That might be the best way to move into unification consciousness. Or do you need to step into the situation and let somebody know that you want to do things differently? I think about my sister, and she and I were just oil and water. We never got along growing up. And I remember in my 20s, I just said, all right, that's enough of that. I moved home to Fredericton, and she was in this city as well, going to university. And I just reached out and made an effort. And I said, hey, I know you don't have a vehicle, and I do. Would you like me to take you shopping? And I bought her groceries, and she needed a pair of jeans, and I bought her jeans because I was making money now. And we would just do that whenever she needed. And she didn't always let me buy her things. Sometimes she worked hard and made money too. But it was more of it's making a conscious decision to change. And then allowing Reiki to show you the steps to that. And sometimes it's just changing what's in your heart. I know with going forward, I'm reading a book that talks about some of the oil companies and so on. And I'm just trying to move to a place of understanding. so that I can find that place. And I'm just letting Reiki lead me. Reiki said, read this book. I said, okay, I'll read it. Because I think if we just continue to butt heads, we're not going to get anywhere. And yet I feel that if we can all come together and pool our resources, there's nothing we can't accomplish. Does that help?
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly what I was looking for. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. It does take me a while to get to it sometimes. So thanks for your patience.
No, it's perfect, Pam. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Perhaps everybody is in a good place for the meditation. So guys, I'm just going to invite you. This is a meditation to unify us within first. And that can be one of the most important steps in this process. If there's any disharmony that exists within us, it can be difficult to move into harmony with things that exist outside of ourselves. So this meditation is first going to unify our minds, our hearts, our spirits, and our bodies. And then it's going to bring unification consciousness into any areas of disharmony or separation consciousness in our lives. And I was given three words. I was shown that once we bring in unification consciousness, one of the ways to know that we are in unification consciousness in different areas of our life is we are healthy, we are happy, and we're in harmony. So it was three H's: health, happiness, harmony, are indicators that we're in unification consciousness. So we're going to move to that place in our meditation today. So I'm just going to invite you to make yourselves really comfortable. Close your eyes, take a deep breath, just filling your lungs with peace, with Reiki. And as you exhale, just letting go of any tension or stress that you might be holding or carrying, even if you were unaware of it. Bring your hands into Gassho and activate your Reiki energy. Just noticing the beautiful light of Reiki as it surrounds you. And as you exhale, feel your head and your heart and your spirit all aligning in harmonious balance. Place your hands comfortably on your body. As you feel yourself aligning through each chakra, imagining the light of Reiki flowing through each chakra, aligning and balancing them from your root to your crown. Just integrating your being, centering you in this moment, present. In this moment in time. And we'll breathe here as all of these disparate parts of ourselves move into alignment today. Thank you. Now imagine this light spreading to every part of your body and being, bringing health and vitality to every cell, every organ, and every system of your body. Feel that deep sense of unity within your physical self as your body moves into a place of perfect harmony. And we'll remain here for several breaths. And now from this deep place of alignment, I invite you to think about areas in your life that are surrounded by division consciousness. Now allow the energy of division to float away, replaced with unification consciousness. Consider the concept of unification consciousness, where all divisions fade away and a sense of oneness with all beings emerges. Envision yourself connected to every living thing, part of a vast interconnected web of life, and will remain here for several breaths. We invite the consciousness of unification to shift and change and reprogram anything in our lives, our minds, our bodies, our hearts, our souls. That has been embedded or working with separation consciousness. Even our relationships. Thank you. Now, with each breath that you take, draw in the energies of health, happiness, and harmony. Feeling these energies just infusing your entire being. And as you breathe out, imagine sharing the energies of unification, health, happiness, and harmony with the world. Contributing to a collective sense of peace and being with every breath. Take a few more deep breaths now, just basking in this state of unified consciousness and well-being. And when you feel ready, you can bring your awareness back to this moment in time, bringing the unification consciousness with you, ready to notice or be aware any time that you move out of it, and to use Reiki to help you get back in. Whenever you feel ready, open your eyes, bringing unity and harmony into your day and into your life. Aho Metakriyawasan and Namaste. All my relations, thank you for being here with us today.